Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast Audio Mix, the show that delivers what you need, from comics to music to all things independent, the heart of the industry. Catch the Craze, baby.
I'm so crazy, you so crazy, crazy.
Who's the craziest?
I'm so crazy, you so crazy, crazy.
Who's the craziest?
I'm so crazy, you so crazy, crazy.
Who's the craziest?
You so crazy, crazy.
Now who's the craziest? Now who's the craziest? Now who's the craziest? Now who's the craziest? Now who's the craziest?
Here it is, episode 13, and we have Ernst Dable of the Dable Brothers. So you don't want to miss it. Stand by for this commercial break, and we'll be back with Ernst Dable, baby. Yeah. The New York Comic Book Spectacular, May 7th at the Holiday Inn, 440 West 57th Street. Come there and visit King Gale, Mercy Ben Flat, Crazy Comics, Rachel Kadushin, Nino Messinella, Brian Kahn, David Keyless, Rodney Ramos, Mike Grill, Dick Ayers, Tommy Castillo, and many, many, many more. May 7th, New York Comic Book Spectacular, one-day show. That's a Sunday at the Holiday Inn Midtown Ballroom, West 57th Street. That's 440 West 57th Street, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. See you there, baby. Peace. Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast Audio Mix. This is Sam, the Crazy Man Vera, and I'm here with a special guest, one of the top dogs at Dable Brothers, one of the leading brothers of the pact, and we have Ernst Dable here. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, great. So let's get started. We're going to play dumb here. We're going to play like no one really knows that you guys exist, even though you're kicking butt in the industry.
Okay.
So for the new fans and the ones who know you guys, we're just going to start from the... Let's go to the beginning. Prior to publishing, what were you doing?
Well, I was finishing up school.
Okay. And what were you majoring in?
Economics.
Economics. Big difference.
Yeah, but my heart was really in books.
Right.
Economics.
Economics. Was this something that was a decision on your own or something...
Just a decision of my own, but not where my heart really was, though.
Right, right. So at what point in your life did you decide, hey, I want to give comics a try?
Well, I guess like there were a lot of things that kind of led up to that point.
Right.
One of the things is I've always liked art, wonderful art. And my brother Les, who's after me, he loves to draw.
Right.
So basically, it first kind of started off as my love for fantasy books.
Right.
So I always wanted, like, if there was a character that I was reading about, I'd be like, hey, Les, do you think you could draw this guy for me? I'd like to see how he looks like.
Right.
Like, if I can imagine him, and he'd just sit there and, you know, kind of, like, put it together for me. So I guess, like, that was really the stage that kind of set up the whole thing.
Right.
Yes.
Now, there's four of you.
Yeah, there's four of us that are actually owners of the company, but
right.
Then there's two others. There's my sister, Myrna, and my the youngest, Jonathan.
Well, now, how did that, I mean, I'm one of four kids, and we have such opposite interests. How did that happen? How did you guys collectively come together and say, we have a passion, let's do this?
Well, basically, like, not all of us, like, were into comics or fantasy, but basically what happened is, when me and Les got it started, the other brothers, they just supported us.
Right.
You see? So just because, like, we're so used to working together and we're a team,
right.
Anything that one of us would like to do, all the others will fall in and support him or her in that goal.
Okay, so who was leading the charge?
Actually, you could say all of us, you know what I mean? Because we don't do anything without talking to all the others as well and getting advice.
Awesome. Now, was there any point where there was any convincing, anyone was might have been skeptical, or?
Well, at first, when it just kind of started, there was really, like, nothing, really.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, there were, like, points where they were like, you think, I don't know, I'm not seeing much, you know what I mean?
Right.
But like I said before, as a family, we've always supported each other, whether we see anything or not.
Outstanding.
Yes.
Outstanding. Now, your first... The first time you guys came together and collectively, did you guys form a publishing house? How did that start?
Well, actually, like, the thing about it is my brother, Les, he went to a convention, and there was this character that he created, and he brought this character with him to just like show around. And at this convention, one publishing, I can't remember who it was now, but this publishing place asked him if he wanted to sell it.
Really?
And I took my brother aside and I said, no, I don't think you want to do that. If somebody wants to buy something from you, most likely it's something important.
Right.
You know? So we just like kind of started from there, you know, just from that one character.
Wow. And then so you decided to build on that story?
Yes, yes. And then we just moved on from there.
Right. And at what point did you form your publishing house? I mean, it was, I think, Roaring Studios?
Yes, yes.
And that was in 2002, right?
Yes, correct. So, well, basically what happened is I've always loved fantasy, as I said before. And I told my brother one day, hey, you know, why don't we try to do something with fantasy, you see? And then my brother, you know, supported me and he went out and he found the contacts and he sent out various emails to everybody. And actually, the person that responded to us was George R. R. Martin.
Yes.
Basically, the answer was no. But we were, like, so excited that he responded that we never focused on the no.
Right.
Like my brother Les says, whenever you see a no, you turn it upside down and you turn it on.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
So we just started sending sketches, pictures, artwork, and stuff like that to him for, like, about 2 years.
Wow.
Without like any response, and finally after 2 years he responded back and go, okay, you guys are persistent and you know what, I'm gonna give you guys a shot.
Outstanding.
So we licensed the Head Snide and then got started with that.
Right, now that's the big difference between your company and a lot of companies out there. Mm-hmm. That the most independent, they come off and they launch their own projects.
Yeah.
And you guys took it a step further and said, hey, you know what, There's a product out there that has a following.
Yeah.
Let's capitalize on that. What was the thought process behind it?
Well, actually, the thought process was I love fantasy.
Right. Yes.
that was basically it. I've always loved fantasy, and I always wanted to do it. And, you know, to be able to be part of, you know, bringing these stories that I've read time and time again to life, you know, it's like, you could say, like, I'm a fanboy at heart for this. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
It's out of the love.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So it's kind of like, I'm not sure. It's like, I'm not sure what it is that you're interested in, but it's like you finally get your dream to work on something that you grew up on.
Right.
You see?
Yes.
There's a wonderful feeling in that.
Yeah, too bad Lucas is stopping with Star Wars. That's my fantasy.
Yeah. Or something like that were to happen to you. I don't know, it would just give you this sensation of, I don't know, this feeling of, wow, you know, I'm being part of something that I love.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what was the time frame? I mean, you guys took on a project that basically had a following, that had a reputation. And I know there was these challenges to make certain that you complement that story in every phase.
Mm-hmm.
So what were the challenges in putting the book together, and what was the time frame from the moment you got the cue to go ahead and to the moment the first book was actually finished and printed?
I see. Well, basically, I have to say one thing. The main thing about it was I was, all of us, when we first started, we were new to the industry.
Right.
So I think, like, our biggest challenge was we didn't have any experience.
Right.
We came into the industry trusting.
Right.
You see what I mean? Because, like, among us brothers, we always trust. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
There's a level of trust there. So we kind of came in naive, believing in people and believing whenever they say, we got your back. They got our back. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, kind of foolish, but if you kind of understand our background,
yeah,
the way we're in my family, trust is important.
Exactly.
We just kind of like carry that over to the industry because we didn't know much about how people work.
Right.
So because of that trust, a lot of people took advantage, and if not for God, we wouldn't have been here right now. People would have taken us out very, very quickly.
Wow.
So, if there is one thing that I could tell to any fan or anybody else that's achieving their goal, is like, you can't go in naive. You can't go in just trusting what people say. You need to always be ready. What if he or she does this to me? What am I going to do? How am I going to be able to, you know, handle that situation? Because it does happen.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's pretty interesting. I'm glad you mentioned it because... Yeah. Everyone assumed comic book is a friendly environment, but it's just like any other business.
Unfortunately, it is, you know, and that's what we said too. Comic books, you know, everybody's gonna be, you know, happy drawing pictures, and you know, this is a good thing. But really, people don't see it that way.
Right.
That's unfortunate, you know, because it's such a beautiful thing, reading comics and reading fantasy books, that you would think that people would just come together and share ideas and just help each other to grow.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think the main thing is people think competition.
Right.
You see, and it's unfortunate.
Yes, instead of embracing the art form and providing information and helping everyone grow, it's almost like, you know, if you become successful, then I become obsolete.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things.
And it shouldn't be that. It shouldn't have been that way. It should have been like, you know what, this person's growing, he has talent, let me help him.
Exactly.
Because when you help somebody and you're honest with them and you're kind with them, they return that.
Right.
You see what I mean? Just like, for example, that's how my family survives.
Right.
You know, we when one of us are in trouble, the other one helps.
Right.
And then whenever the other one that helped falls into trouble, the other one comes in and helps.
Right.
And that's how a family grows. And that's how, I would say, an industry should have grown.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's a great point. And, you know, I was in the music business a long time ago, and it's amazing how similar the industry is.
Yeah.
And so I took that experience, and luckily I learned from that going into this industry.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear coming from you guys, coming from you especially, just to hear that that you guys are aware, although, and you guys have learned from it, and you're willing to provide information, letting everyone know, hey, look, you know, it's not what you think.
Yeah.
Go in there with your eyes open.
Yeah. Because, like, one thing that fans, I know there's a lot of fans probably listening to this, they have dreams, they have goals. Just because somebody's, like, a big company, don't be awed so much that you're not protecting yourself.
Right.
I'm not saying go in with, like, all these bad, you know, ideas in your head.
Right.
But always remember, even though they're big, but you have to protect yourself, too. Because I wouldn't want to see somebody, like, having to go through what we went through.
Right.
And the reason I had said before that God helped us is because we weren't able to push the head tonight. We weren't able to give it all the needs that it needed to give it a push.
Right.
Because we were being bombarded by everybody on every single side that, you know, if God had not helped it to be pushed, we weren't able. Our hands were tied.
Right.
You see, so he really helped us there.
Exactly. And it's, I mean, when it comes, at the end of the day, each individual that's going into this are representing themselves as a business.
Yeah.
So you have to treat it as a business.
That's right.
And, you know, and nothing is set in stone until it's in black and white.
That's right. You know? That's right.
So
don't go in awed by a bigger company. And,
right.
You know, thinking, oh, they have my best interest in mind. I'm just going to sign whatever they give me, or I'm just going to trust them 100%. Ask questions.
Yes.
You know, look out for your own interests as well.
Right. Exactly. Great. No, that's great. So now let's go back to the moment that you guys got the green light for Heads Night.
Yes.
What was the creative process like on the back end?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, one of the things that we do, we work closely with our authors. Anything that we do, we make sure we go to the author. We make sure that we that he gets to envision. You see what I mean?
Right.
What he had pictured in his mind.
Right.
Of course, you can't be 100% right on.
Right.
You see what I mean? Because I'm pretty sure there's a certain shade that probably the author envisioned the hair. You
right.
might not be able to catch it 100%, but you might come very close.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Exactly.
So, you know, we listen to the author, and the author is always right.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Now, what was the time frame between laying out the first page to when it was complete and ready for press?
Well, basically, it doesn't, for us, though, it took a while just because of the fact of, like I explained to you, we were naive going into the industry and we were being, you know, bombarded
right.
left and right. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So it took a long time.
Okay.
You see what I mean? Because at certain points, you know, it couldn't move forward.
Right.
You see what I mean? Because of, you know, different things coming at us.
Right.
See what I mean?
And being spread thin.
Actually, the head knife took a while to be completed.
Okay. Now, what was your response when it was hit the shelves?
Oh, it was like, wow. You see what I mean? Like, I had read it from the anthology Legends, the words itself.
Right.
And just to be able to see it out there, that people will be able to pick it up and read it and kind of like feel what I felt when I read George R. R. Martin. It's just like a wonderful feeling. And, you know, just because some fans wrote me back and they were like, this is a wonderful story. And you know what? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to look for George R. R. Martin's books and I'm going to read them.
Outstanding.
You know, that's like a wonderful feel because it's like you meet somebody that's a non-Star Wars person that has no clue what it is.
Right.
You lent them the first three tapes. They come back to you. They're like, wow, this is incredible. Is there any more?
Right.
And you get to show them more into this world that you're enjoying.
Right.
It's an incredible feeling.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So now, I'm assuming that because of the success of this first project, that it was easier to get the other authors from that point on board, or was it still a challenge?
Well, actually, once we got to the point where we kind of understood where everything was coming from,
right?
You see what I mean? We learned about the industry, about the pitfalls, about how to protect ourselves.
Right.
At that point, we were able to move on quicker. And as you could see, I'm sure you've seen a lot of the different projects that are coming on.
Yes.
You can see that it's moving a whole lot quicker because we learned a whole lot more. You see?
Right, exactly. Now, that's my next question. I mean, how are you able to manage the workload of your company? At this point, I'm looking at it now, and I'm on your website now, and I'm looking at the title. I'm actually holding in my hands Red Prophet, and I loved it. And
yes, thank you.
Yeah, I loved every minute of it. And and the thing is, I didn't know Austin Scott Card's work until now.
Oh, he's incredible, and I encourage anybody who hasn't read him to even if they don't want to go and buy the book, but go to the library and check out some of his books.
Yes, it is awesome, and you captured this. I mean, I'm assuming, I want to actually pick up the book now, the actual novel, just to compare and because I'm so caught up in the story now.
Yes.
But the artwork, the way it's laid out, the pacing, it's beautiful. And but I'm looking at all your titles, and how are you able to manage? Is it a challenge managing multiple titles?
Actually, no, because like managing it was never really the problem for us. Our problem was that, you know, like I said before, I know it's like beating a dead horse, but
the
problem was that we came in naive, we were being bombarded on every side, so we couldn't focus on what we needed to do.
Right.
Because we have a wonderful staff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the staff, they do their work well.
Yes.
You see what I mean? And they also love what they're doing. So, and the point of like, getting it out there, it's not even a problem.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, before we go into some of the titles, let's go into the thought process behind your brand, behind your logo.
Okay.
Whose idea was it for the lion on the flag?
Okay, well, before we used to be Roaring Studios, and we had this roaring lion.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you remember our owner site, when you click on it, the lion roars.
Right.
So we took that concept as a lion and we just like brought it, you know, to the Dable Brothers flag.
Is there any significance between the lion and the bell?
Well, the bell is there's the four brothers, the bell.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now I get it. Oh, stupid me. Oh yeah. Now I get it.
What happened is that George R. Martin, he had given us like house sigils.
Right.
And then I was like, the bell, the one bell, because I'm the oldest, and then the second brother last was the bell with two bells on the shield. So we took the concept from George R. Martin of the bell, and then we just integrated with a lion.
Wow, so, I'm surprised I didn't even pick up on that.
Nice. Yeah, so if you go on the website, you check it out. Once you hear after the lion roars, listen carefully, you hear four bells ring.
Yeah, I heard the bells, and I wasn't certain. I'm just that dumb. You're not supposed to agree with me.
So that's the significance behind it.
Oh, that's cool.
And, I have to say, Bill Tortellini, our production manager, he put it all together.
Right.
And he did a fantastic job.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good. I mean, there's really a thought process to all aspects of what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And each book has a different look because it basically conveys the story that you're telling.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know there's a few titles out there that I'm looking to pick up from your organization.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big independent supporter, and I've always have, and I get flack from it from, like, the Marvel fans and DC fans. Let's go into your titles. I know you guys have big plans for this year.
Yeah.
But let's talk about 2005 prior to this year.
Okay.
2005, what were your expectations? What were your challenges? And what did you take from that year?
Okay, well, 2005, I think, like, was one of the years that we got hit the most, the hardest.
Right.
And I think it was, like, one of the toughest time for us.
Right.
But, not only did our family support us, but we had fans that really support us. There's a fan, I'm not going to say the name,
right,
but this fan wrote me an email because I guess, like, she knew the whole thing that was going on and so forth. And she wrote me and said, even though things look dark, but always know that you have fans out there that have they got your back.
Nice.
And they are praying for you. And
wow.
Just to get an email like that from a fan, it just makes you want to fight.
Right.
You don't want to just die. You
right.
just want to fight. And I think, like, that was one of the main things that kind of, like, pushed us to keep going despite how hard it is.
Wow.
So even for independents, those ones that you support,
right.
you know what I mean? I'm 100% sure there are times when it's so difficult for them. But one thing that they have to remember is they have fans like you
right.
that support them, that want them to succeed.
Right.
And they shouldn't just give up just so easily. They should continue to fight.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the key. I mean, you see so many, you see what happens in the industry and independents, they come and go like the weather. And
yes.
and it's
and it is tough. It's not easy. It's not that they're just quitting that easy because things are easy, but it's hard. It's a lot of pressure.
Yes.
It's a lot of stress because, as we mentioned before, the industry is not this pretty nice place where everybody's happy they're doing comics. It's competitive.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yes, exactly. So that that was your challenge. What any success stories? What were your accomplishments in 2005 that you were most proud of?
I think, like, in 2005, it's some of the licenses that we just started picking up so that we could go into 2006 to see these authors that, like, they seen what we did and they loved it and they're like, I want to be part of this.
Wow.
And ever since then, the 2005 that started coming, it's just like every day it's like new authors are writing. They're like, we want to be part of this. And it's like, actually, there's like a long waiting list.
Wow.
You see what I mean?
Congratulations.
They are so excited to be part of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we have a lot of surprises in store for fans.
Outstanding. You know what's funny? I mean, I have on my shelf, you know, The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan,
mm-hmm.
the actual book. And when I heard that you guys were doing the New Spring, the book, and the comic version, I was excited. Because I've always wanted to see what my mind envisioned the characters to look like.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And how did that come about?
Basically, it's, after we went for George R. R. Martin, we got that done. We just said, hey, you know, if we do this, let's approach the others as well.
Right.
And as we approach him, Robert Jordan and some of the others, they were impressed with what we're doing. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
They love what we're doing, and they said, let's come aboard.
Nice.
And, you know, it's just kind of, like, amazing because, like, these people that I used to read, like, when I used to be in the seventh grade, in high school, junior high, I used to try to sneak read these books in English class.
Right.
And my English teacher would be like, put it away. But it's English. Like, that's not the English we speak. So, but now, being able to sit down with these authors and seeing them and becoming friends with them and having dinner with them and talking to them, it's just like, wow.
Wow, yes, exactly.
Think of it as you meeting George Lucas.
Exactly.
You see what I mean? And sitting down with him and talking to him, it's just, it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, you're listening, George. I'm coming for you.
But, you know, the good thing about this is these people are very nice people, very wonderful people, friendly people.
Right.
You see what I mean? Exactly. They're not like, you know, they yeah. don't intimidate you. They make you feel comfortable.
Yes.
You see, they're really nice people.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, these are people expressing their creativity.
Yes.
And and they appreciate your appreciation of their work.
Yes.
You know, and when it comes down to it, we're all human beings. And just being able to strike a conversation, you know, as long as it's positive, you know.
Definitely.
And that's the big key.
I agree, yes.
So now, are you planning on doing the entire arc for the Wheel of Time or just the specific title?
We have a lot of surprises. You know, I mean, we don't want to, like, just come out and just say everything that we're going to do.
Don't make me pull teeth.
But all I can say is that we're going to make a lot of people very, very, very happy.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. So what are your plans for 2006? I know I see a lot of posts and I see a lot of press releases by the Dable Brothers and, you know, highlighting 2006. So
our plan is twofold. Our plan is to get comic book fans to these wonderful worlds that a lot of them might not have read before,
right.
And for them to walk into the bookstore and start reading these wonderful books.
Right.
And the second plan is to have people that are in the bookstores that always read these books to walk into the comic book stores and pick up comics for the first time.
Nice.
You see, because comics is not just, we don't see it as just like, oh, it's the little kid superhero books. These are, you know, wonderful art, high quality, along with New York Times best-selling stories
right.
that you can enjoy.
Right.
So it's taking the book world and the comic book world and bringing them together into one.
Nice.
You see?
Exactly.
And so just, that both benefit.
Exactly. And I think they do work hand-in-hand.
Yes.
I think what happens is, for many years, the mind was programmed to believe that comic books were just about superheroes.
Yes.
And it's just more to it.
Yes, yeah. There is.
And I think you get that from the independent, small press market.
Yes.
And from the people outside of the big companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're actually telling stories that they love to tell and sharing that with the public. And there's a lot more heart there.
Yeah, because once you bring people from into the bookstores to actually read comics, and they're like, wow, these were enjoyable.
Right.
Now everybody benefits. And you know, that's, I guess, like, it's a mindset with me and my brothers. The industry should be working together, not working against each other.
Exactly.
You see?
Yes, and I believe that 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I always found it very odd that the market is the way, you know, it is. And, I mean, you hear one thing in panel rooms, but then in real life you see another.
Yeah.
It's a big, big, big difference.
Yeah.
So, and now you also have titles that you're producing through your company that are not licensed.
Yes, definitely. One of the ones that we have is Marshall,
right.
which our production manager is putting created Bill Tortolini.
Right.
And I encourage everybody to you know, if you get a chance to pick that one up. It's a sci-fi western.
Is
about,
it
about a Marshall? So it's really good. And also. In the back of it as well, too, there's going to be some artwork for the Anita Blake. There's going to be some pages there and some goodies
nice.
That fans might want to check out as well.
Now, has it hit the shelves yet?
No, not yet. It will later on the end of this month.
The end of the month?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be sure to make sure we check it out. And,
okay. Yes.
And what else do you have that's from your company directly?
You mean like some of the creator-owned?
Creator-owned that are not licensed projects.
Okay. We also have Origin of the Species,
uh-huh.
which is by Michael Lent. Michael Lent wrote a novel, a book called Breakfast with Sharks.
Right.
This is the book, like anybody who wants to break into Hollywood,
right.
this is the book that they encourage them to read so they know all the pitfalls and what to do to succeed once you get into Hollywood.
Right.
And currently, I believe he's talking to Lionsgate about the property. So,
outstanding.
Yeah, so that's one of the other ones that we're doing.
Awesome. And now I see you lined up for this year. I'm seeing, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Is Plautus or Plautus?
Oh, actually, it's Talus.
Talus, okay.
Yes, the P is silent. All right. And it's Talus, City by the Spire.
Right.
Yes.
And you have Worms?
Yes, we have Worms, also by Orson Scott Card.
Right. And all these will hit the shelves this year?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And now, what events will you guys be doing this year? Are you doing any events, any conventions, special appearances?
Yes, there's some conventions that we're going to be doing, but we're going to put the... we're still working on which ones,
right.
But we're going to put it on our website as soon as we have a final list.
Right. Are you guys going to San Diego this year?
I don't think that we might. I'm not sure if we are. I think this is the only year that we might not be going to it.
Okay.
But even if we're not there personally, we might have some people there representing us.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah. Also, on the list, also there's the Raymond E. Feist Magician Apprentice as well.
Too. Yes. I'm looking at that right now.
Yes. As well as the Anita Blake.
Right. Yeah. And you have Michael Avon Oeming working on this.
Oh, yes, yes. And he's enjoying it a lot.
Yes, actually, I'm interviewing him later on tonight.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he's doing a wonderful adaptation of that story, yes.
How did that come about?
We contacted him, and when he saw the property and he saw, like, how big it was.
Right.
You know, and he, I guess he read the story, and he loved it, and he said yes.
Right.
And yeah, but because these stories are smart, wonderful stories. Any writer would love to be part of it because in the book world, these stories are million, they sell in the millions.
Right.
Fan base is there, you see.
Yes.
So.
Wow. I mean, you have an extremely great lineup coming out and a talented crew behind it. And you also have Brett Booth working on that project.
Oh, yes, yes.
A very talented artist.
Yes, yes. He's doing some fantastic work.
Right.
And when I'm looking at the pages he's doing, it's like he's reaching new levels that I'm like, wow.
Wow.
He's just like blowing me away. And like I said before, I'm a fanboy, so I'm really, really enjoying this.
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm looking at it, and I mean, I'm looking at like his previous stuff, and it's so dynamic, and it's, I can imagine what this is going to look like.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And this is slated to hit the shelves when?
This one, Magician Apprentice, is this month as well.
Oh, awesome. Outstanding.
This month, yes.
Oh, that's cool. So now, you have your 2006 calendar, you have your, you're not certain about the events, but what do you hope to achieve this year that, what's your, I guess people say your resolution. You know, you look at 2005, you assess it, you say you take away what's good from it, and you know, you learn from what you went wrong. And now, 2006, you have a great lineup coming out. You have outstanding talent on that, on a lot of your books.
Yeah.
Great projects. What do you hope to get from 2006, and what do you anticipate for 2007?
Okay, well, basically, the 2006 is going to set up for the entire future of all the others that we have lined up. I believe for 2006, a lot of the comic book retailers are going to be bombarded with bookstore-going fans that's going to start coming into the comic book store, you know, begging for their books.
Nice.
They're going to start seeing a wave of people coming into. I've spoken to a lot of the websites, fantasy websites, science fiction websites, and the answers are the same. I've never read comics. I always thought it was kid stuff, but you're getting this 60-year-old man to go into a comic book store to buy.
Right.
For Anita Blake, these women are going to be buying comics. they want to buy comics.
Yes.
You see what I mean? So yeah. Retailers are going to be very, very happy with the amount of fans going to be coming from the bookstores to come to bookstores.
Right. Nice.
Yes.
Nice. Now, what's your marketing campaign behind your projects? How's that like?
Basically, we're just trying our best to get the word out into the comic book stores, but a lot into the bookstores, so that these millions of fans that read these books, so that they could be aware that they're being adapted.
Right.
So we're focusing a lot on bringing the bookstores into into the comic book story.
Nice. So any final words you want to share with the public?
Yes, I could give you some sneak peeks into what we have coming out. We have I.A. Salvatore that's going to be, you know, doing some stuff for us.
Nice.
We also have L.E. Morissette Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be familiar, but in the fantasy world, he's very well known.
Right.
And we have some, you know, we have a lot. The list is long. Of other authors that are ready, and you know they want to have their stuff out there as well.
it's like kids running to a candy store.
Oh yes.
They found the saving grace.
Yes.
You know, and that's amazing.
Yes.
That's great stuff. Well, you definitely have a fan in me. You know, I know there's a lot of readers out there. You know, as far as like Robert Jordan, The Wheel of Time, I know there's a lot of readers that read his books, and that's how I got involved in it. One guy mentioned it to me, and I went and picked up the first book, and it just trickled from that point on. So, I mean, and it's working. Your magic is working. You guys are adapting it the right way. And I don't see anywhere in the titles that I've read where you're losing anything from the book to the comic book adaptation.
Thank you. And we're going to continue working hard. So that the fans of these properties, they enjoy them, and new people like yourself who's never read them before too will be able to enjoy them as well too. So not only are they getting high quality art, but they're also getting a New York Times best-selling story that's smart for them as well.
Exactly.
Yes.
Twice the adventure, twice the fun, twice the experience.
Amen.
Thank you for being on our show.
Oh, anytime.
Yes, definitely. And I would definitely want to do a follow up later on this year, just to assess where you guys been, and hopefully get some real good information as to what you guys have planned for 2007. And if your crew's going to be in San Diego, we will be there, so we'll do a follow up on anybody that's representing your company there.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this interview. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm definitely a big fan, and I am definitely also a big fan of innovators in the industry that are doing things against what we think is the norm, following your own path, following your gut, your heart, thinking what's right for you, and I think that exudes, and we see that in the market, you know. And I think the future is the small press market, and the future, you know, and I think it's just going to grow and get better, even though we've had some losses and, you know, some wins, but you guys are definitely a win in the industry, and you're doing it right. And anyone out there that's looking to break into the industry, looking to, you know, get their feet wet and basically take on the small press market,
yes,
you're the right company to learn from.
Yes. And we're going to continue to pray that, you know, God helps us to continue to grow and help us to remain humble and, you know, to never change and always, you know, work hard to make sure that fans enjoy.
Yes.
See what I mean? Because they deserve the best.
Yes, exactly. And so we're going to go to a little break, and when we come back, we'll basically wrap up this show. Stand by. All right, all you would-be rappers, artists, singers, dancers, publishers out there. Got something to promote? Have a voice? Have something to say? Give us a call. Give us a holler. Give us an email at guests@catchthecraze.com. Guests with an S at catchthecraze.com. Or even sponsor the show. We'll plug your ad. We'll promote your endeavor, whatever it is you got. We got you back. Peace. Okay, we're back, and what can I say? It was a great show. I mean, it was pretty interesting to hear what Ernst Stable had to say, and also interesting just to see that, I guess, no one is void of the hardships in this business, and it is a tough business, and you know, we learned that the hard way. You have to love comics to be into it. There's no other way around it. You know, if you don't love it, there's no reason why you're here, because you have to accept the ups and downs. In talking to Mr. Dable, you know, one of the things that he touched upon was the fact that he had that bond with his family. And I just wanted to get into that a little bit, because not all of us are fortunate enough to have that union. That foundation is going to help you push on. And there's a lot of us out there that,
you know, collectively you get together with individuals, other creative talent in the business, and if something goes wrong, any one of these people can just walk away. When you have a family, it's a lot different. And especially when you have a family that's raised with morals and ethics and understanding what together means and, you know, what it means to when you fall, someone's there to help you get up. And it's a pretty interesting thing, and I don't want to get philosophical because this is a comic book show, but it impressed me. And, you know, I see nothing but big things, bigger things. I mean, because these guys are really kicking butt, and they tapped into something that most companies didn't want to do. They didn't want to take that risk. And, you know, unfortunately for them, I guess now that everyone's starting to jump on the bandwagon, but, I mean, I'm holding Red Prophet in my hand. And I love the book, and it's not your typical superhero. I picked up New Spring, which is based on Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time, and I'm waiting for the trade. I was picking them up, but then when there's so many fantasy books that I pick up at the stores, and it's hard, so I'm definitely going to pick up the trade. I have the first two issues, but then I got lost somewhere. But Red Prophet's a really good book, and it's about it's the old Wild Wild West, I guess, and the oppression of the Indians. And there's this one specific Indian, I guess, he eventually evolves into this mystic Red Prophet. But they're being oppressed by whiskey, and they're being the red man is or the white man is giving them a lot of whiskey. And they're basically drinking themselves away and to nothingness and getting diseases. And it's an easy way to destroy the Indian population and take over their land and their territory when they're drunk and they're dying. And this one drunk in particular, I believe is Lola Wasiki. His father was killed by his oppressor. And so he just drinks his life away, but his brother refuses to get drunk, and his brother's about to start an uprising, I guess, and he understands, and he knows that his drunk brother is going to wind up coming out of this alcoholic coma and become that which I guess he is to become, which is the Red Prophet. It's a really good book. I recommend picking it up. Anyone who's not into fantasy or non-superhero books, this is an extremely good dramatic series. And it's by Orson Scott Card. And they have a great creative team behind it. I mean, they have the artwork by Renato Arlem, I believe, with an adaptation by Roland Bernard Brown. And a good creative team behind this book. Now, I love it. But who am I? I'm just the House of Craze. But with that said, the Dable Brothers do have something going on. It's really good stuff. They really have great product out there. And they have, let's see, they also have a title coming out called The Magician Apprentice with art by Brett Booth. And I believe story by, it's a Raymond E. Feist story. But the comic book adaptation is done by Mike Oming, and he's actually, I believe he's episode 15, which is next week, 15 or 16, which is a week from now. But we spoke to Mike Oming about how he got involved with the Dable Brothers and with that title. So, but they also have Tullis on there and Marshall coming out, and they have Orson Scott Card's Worms. They have so many titles. I mean, these guys are doing it all. I don't know how they're able to do it, but you heard them. It's putting together a great creative team. There's six of them, although you see four, but there's six family members that run the company. That's really good stuff. Let's see. What's going on? What's going on with Craze? Well, we're getting ready for the New York Comic Book Spectacular, which is May 7th at the Holiday Inn. And we're going to get together with a lot of indie friends. And afterwards, we're going to go to Hooters and have a little swig and some of that greasy buffalo wings. Oh, my goodness. You take a bite into this like biting into an orange. the grease just squirts, and then it leaves its smell on you forever. But what are you going to do with Hooters? So we're going to hang out with a lot of our friends, like Brian Kong and David Quiles and Rachel Kadushin and Nino Messinero, who's coming in from Chicago, and he is the creator of the unbelievable laundry detergent man, and he's he was actually the first guest on our show, which is back in February, but his show, I believe, yeah, it was in February. Wow, can't believe. We're already up to, about 13? I don't know. But the hits are coming on the site, you know, and we have new members on our forum. Thank you guys for joining. The newest members are Mr. Estrada, who is a publisher himself. And we also have this young lady from Poland who joined the forum. And I believe her tag name is Anushka. That's Anushka. She's from Poland. And we have Jake Estrada. And Jake Estrada is a publisher. I guess his website's Estrada Media. Thank you guys for joining. We appreciate it. And fans out there, if you like the show, join. This is a great opportunity to talk to the guests on the show through the forum. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Because we're always willing to improve and get better, you know, with your help. And let's see. Also, we have the New York Comic Book Spectacular, it's by Primate Promotions and Monkey House Press. And then what do we have? We have some things going on in – we have a few things going on in May. We have the Allentown Convention that we should be going to, and we also have the Hawthorne Charity Fundraiser for the Hawthorne High School run by Alan Rosenberg. And so we're going to try our best to be there. If not, we're going to donate original artwork to help raise money for the school. You know, where we loved it last time, and we just love being part of something that's going to help the youth. And besides that, we're getting ready for, in June, what do we have? The Big Apple Con, which is going to be hot, hot, hot. I'm telling you, if you missed the Big Apple Con a few weeks ago, you know, we missed you. But don't miss this one. I mean, a great lineup. It's going to be a whole Superman theme based on the movie and on the comic book. So if you know any of the creators that worked on the book that you loved, you don't want to miss this show. And the people behind the film and actors and all that stuff, it's going to be really hot. And all you Steven Seagal fans, come down. He's going to be there. Hi-ya! So, and then we have Roddy Piper. Oh, my goodness. That reminds me that takes me back. Like Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the British Bulldogs and the Killer Bees and all that stuff. If you're a wrestling fan, you remember that stuff. I mean, join the forum. Let's see how many names you can remember. I remember the Missing Link, the Junkyard Dog, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and I mean, Big John Studd. I mean, there were just so many. I grew up with that stuff. And then they had Hogan's cartoons. I forgot. Hogan's Heroes? I don't know. I forgot what it's called. I'm getting it wrong. But they're going to be there. And it's going to be a great, great show, you know, run by Michael Carbonaro himself and Brian Schuster. I hope I get it right. And so that's going to be hot. And then we have the Licensing International that we're at Crazy Comics are getting ready for. And we're going to put our product up for licensing. So we're going to have everything from little action figures to an animation to stuffed dolls and trading card games and all that stuff that we're going to have on display, prototypes to pitch to the big boys. And one of our leading titles that we're going to promote is There's an Alien on My Toilet, which seems to be getting a lot of interest from the network executives. So we're inviting them all there to get a first-hand look on the potential marketability of this little green guy. But we're also going to be promoting the other stuff that we have, like Cosmic Wars. Cosmic Wars Forbidden, Rush 5377. So, we know, we're going to be ready. It's a big expense. Anyone who's invested in the licensing show knows that it's one of the biggest endeavors ever. I mean, you have to really think about every single aspect of your booth. And then the finance involved in it, it's like putting down payment on a home. It's extreme. So, you know, we're taking a dive. So we're not going to be touring this year a lot of the events nationwide like we did last year. So to pay for this. And the reason why I'm hosting a show by myself is because George Medina is helping raise money to get this. So, you know, we have a lot of web clients and we're designing websites and stuff like that. So, you know, George is hustling right now, you know, getting busy to help get ready for the licensing show. And then we leave to San Diego. So fans... Unfortunately, here's an announcement right now. Cosmic Wars is on hiatus right now. I stopped at the second issue because we're focusing on Disneyland My Toilet. Rush 5377 is on hiatus. We have three issues for that book because we're working on Rush 5377. George does the coloring for that and the lettering. And I write it, ink it, and color it. I write it and ink it and draw it. And we're also designing a brand new website specifically for Duty, Disneyland My Toilet. So, but we're still going forward with Street Journal. We're still going forward with Forbidden. Anibal's working on the third issue right now. So that we should have it ready for the San Diego Comic-Con, San Diego. So there it is. You know, I'm sorry, Cosmic Wars fans. And I know we have fans in Seattle and in Pittsburgh. And those of you who are planning on going to San Diego, we won't have anything new. But we will have a lot of product and merchandising, and we'll have pinups and stuff like that for those books. But there's only four of us on the team, and there's only so much we can do. Running a show, working full time, running a publishing company, being married, and all that other stuff. So there it is. That's what we're doing right now. And then after that, it's just Big Apples from that point on. We're doing Big Apple again in September and in November. And I think that's the only shows we're doing for the year. That's the only shows we can afford. We're broke. So Crazy Comics is officially broke. You heard it here, baby. So that's it for now. This is another episode of Cast Crazy Podcast Audio Mix. I am Sam the Crazy Man Vera. And please voice your opinion. Don't be shy. Stop on by and say hi. All right, baby. So Cast the Craze, and I'll see you soon. Peace. I'm so crazy, you so crazy, crazy. I'm so crazy, you so crazy, crazy. Who's the crazy?